Genesis chapter 1. There's absolutely no substitute for the Word of God. And when you talk about light, that's where it comes from. It comes from the Scripture. It comes out of the Bible. It comes because it's the Spirit of God working. This is a living Word, amen? And we have a living Savior. And our spirit bears witness that with his spirit that we are the children of God. But the light comes on. We'll begin reading in verse 1. I had a friend of mine, a pastor friend, and he did a series starting in Genesis chapter 1. I don't think he got out of verse 1 before they quit the series. And like 30 messages or something. Like in the beginning. Think how long you could preach on that. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created the heaven. I mean, it just goes on. And it's so precious because Genesis is the seed book of the Bible. And you see all kinds of truths in the book of Genesis that follow suit all the way through the Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Father, we thank you for your word today, and Lord, do what only you can do in our hearts. May you shine a light on what you want us to hear today. May the word just become alive. As it enters our heart and our mind, may the switch go on, Lord. Thank you for the church, being able to be here, being able to open the Bible, and we pray your blessing on it now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I love that passage of Scripture. It's a favorite. And sometimes I'll just quote it, you know, and then you go to John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And it's the New Testament equivalent here. And it reflects back to Genesis chapter 1. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved. It says God said, boy, that's a blessing. Through faith, by faith, we believe that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's in Corinthians. And so it explains, and there's all kinds of cross-references to this. And the more you see, it's like another light being turned on. Amen? You turn on one light in a room, and it gives you this light, but there's lights going on everywhere. And to read the Scripture and to know the Bible well enough where you can run the Scriptures, you can compare Scripture with Scripture, because the Bible tells us to do that. You can take this verse and look at this verse, and it adds something to it. That's why you have four Gospels. Amen? You have four different pictures of the crucifixion, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And something adds to it all the time. It's a blessing to have that. God said, let there be light, and there was light. If God says it, amen, it's going to come to pass. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. In the beginning was the Word. Manadeh said, and it was spoken. Think of that. And God said, let there be light. And God said, and God said, and God said, and here's everything created. God spoke. In the beginning was the Word, and God said that and spoke the Word. There was darkness. God said there would be light, and then he said the light is good. We're going to use that as our theme today. Darkness prevents us from seeing, or at least from seeing clearly. I remember one time, my wife and I were making a visit, and we walked in. It's like an apartment complex. And we walked into the room. It was when it was dark early. And we knocked on the door. And as our eyes began to adjust to the darkness, there was a coat rack there. I said this before. And there was a coat hanging, and there was a hat. And I thought it was a person. Now, imagine the fear, you know, I mean, because you walk in and you've been there for a few seconds, you knock on the door, there's no response from this guy, and you look over and I said, oh, excuse me, I didn't know what else to say, and Linda never let me forget that, never. She says, you need to tell that, you know, But because you can't see very good. Or if you get up in the middle of the night, maybe there's no night lights around, and you know, okay, I know the chair is there. Oh, whoop, you know, and over the chair you go. But it's because it's dark and you don't have any light. So it says there was darkness. In Exodus chapter 10, one of the plagues was darkness in the land of Egypt. And this is what the Bible says, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Talking about a thick darkness. Verse 22. And there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. 3 days. That was one of the plagues. The light wasn't the plague. Darkness was the plague. And by the way, the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. That's another miracle. Amen. But it shows us something. We have some friends. Believe it or not, Linda and I have some friends. But we have some friends in Alaska. And in Alaska, it can be light for 6 months and dark for... I wouldn't want to do that. Amen. But even when it's dark there for 6 months, you still have the stars and the moon, so there is some light, but there's people really suffer. They tell you, they sell these lights that if you get depressed because of the darkness in the winter, buy one of these lights. And they work because there's something about that light. Isn't that amazing? So everybody get light. Turn the lights on, amen? That's why we have lights in here, and it's not like the bar, you know, where it's very, very dark. The length of time spent in darkness takes more adjusting to the light. Your eyes get used to the darkness. And the light, when it comes on, can be very, very bright. Darkness can be very scary. I know kids are afraid of the dark. And even some adults are afraid of the dark for different reasons. But don't you remember the monster under the bed or in the closet? And in the summer, you know, you had the covers up, or you were under the covers, and it's hot, but you didn't want to see that monster under the bed. Of course, I was only 6 months old when that happened to me. But all the different things, we went one time to, we slept out, and we were crossing the cemetery. Me and my brother and a couple other kids we slept out with. You talk about a scary time. Now, during the day, it wasn't so bad, you know, but at night, going through the graveyard, and we were always in a little bit of trouble, but all of a sudden, my brother yelled out, oh, no, there he is, and my legs ran out from under me, and I fell down. I couldn't even get going, but there's a fear, and it's caused by the darkness for sure. Darkness in the Bible is a picture of sin or Satan. It's an evil thing. It's a terrible thing to have the darkness. But we'll see what that does in our message. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against, notice the word against, flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. This is attacking the Christian. This is trying to destroy the gospel. Against spiritual wickedness in high places, the powers of darkness. But if God be for us, who can be against us? So that's where we have the light. I'm just trying to build that foundation a little bit here. In Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 15, this is the result of judgment. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. That's judgment. But when forgiveness comes and restoration comes and the blessings of God come, then there's light. And you see that all through the scriptures. Between the Old and New Testament, there's what they call the 400 silent years. They do that because there's really no new voice, new revelation or prophet. And so you come to John chapter 9, and Jesus goes into the temple, and the light has been out a long time in the temple. I'm not talking about the physical light. I'm talking about the light of God. All of the different Pharisaism and all of that, And so Christ comes in and he says, I am the light of the world. So the light's going to come back on. And as you go through the book of John, or the chapter 9 of John, you find that Jesus heals a blind man. And he turns that light on for that blind man who was blind his whole life. And now he's able to see and the light enters in. That is a perfect picture of what God can do for us. Matthew 6:23. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? When you say something is light, but it's really darkness, you are convinced of that. And how great that is. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? And so this is the way walk ye in it. God guides our steps. He gives us light, and we follow that light. That light is found in the Scripture. That light is found in the Spirit of God speaking to our heart and bringing the Scripture to mind. And we'll see that in a little bit. But 2 Corinthians and verse 11, Jesus says in verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And he talks about that. And these people are so impressionable and able to follow the wrong thing. Look at verse, where do we start? Verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we are. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. But obviously they're not. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Isn't that an amazing statement? He's transformed into that. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And Peter describes the devil as a roaring lion. No mistake. That's the devil. Amen? He's a roaring lion. But when he comes as an angel of light, he tricks a lot of people. He's very subtle. And his ministers, and so there's all his followers alive and well today. And so God wants to give the light, the true light, not this false light, not this false way. And again, the scriptures will bear this out. In Proverbs 26:12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. We really need wisdom as we read the Bible, that God would open the word to our hearts and that we might see the truth of the scriptures, not only in salvation, but in worship. Amen. In our activities, in our service for the Lord, everything, our homes, our workplaces, our churches. We have scripture after scripture that turns the light on and how we're supposed to walk. And that is really a blessing. And so if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He gives us that wisdom. Amen. Solomon said, I'm like a little child. I don't know how to go out and come in. He was a grown man. Amen. What a blessing to be able to humble ourselves to say, God, I don't understand this. Am I doing this right? Is this wrong? And just ask wisdom of God, because he wants to and promises us that wisdom. And it's the wisdom of the word. Isaiah 5:20-21. Woe that to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They take something that's good and call it bad. They take something bad and call it good. The illustrations are endless in our society today. Amen. Endless. And we get back to the scriptures. Well, that's old-fashioned. It's the truth from God's word. And, you know, we have to stay by the scripture. Again, the world is going to keep going, but we need to stay right where we're at. The Bible says in Jeremiah, ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, because God said it is good. We have Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If somebody doesn't agree with the scripture, it's because the light's turned off. Amen? Because that light hasn't reached their heart and their soul and their mind. So it's a blessing to know that. John chapter 1 and verse 5. Good to have you folks with us. This is my introduction. I started about 2 hours ago. So, and we've got another 2 hours to go. Amen? Good to have you today. God bless you. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. John 1:5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. These are dark times. We really need the light. It's a good thing when we're children of the light and we walk as children of the light. And if we have fellowship one with another, it's because of the light that Jesus gives us. When we sit together in fellowship, even as I'm preaching, I read a verse and I see somebody going, amen, amen, or nodding your head. If I'm giving scripture and you're sitting out there going, no, maybe one of us is missing the light, amen? But the fellowship is when the light comes on and we have fellowship one with another. John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. It is so clear. It is so, listen to it again. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. That's the Lord. Amen. And that's his word. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Their deeds were evil. So we love the light. Amen. Turn the lights on. We have nothing to hide. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. And then he said in another place, ye are the light. And let your light shine. Put it under a bushel. No. Anybody want to sing? I'm going to let it shine, you know, shine all the time. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. A big change takes place when you get saved. The word shows us how to be saved. Amen. And we receive that word, and we believe that word, and we act on that word, and our sins are forgiven. Jesus is the word. Amen. It says that. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So God speaks the world into existence. God tells us how to be saved. When the light comes on, we believe that, and we accept it, and we are saved. Amen. But it's a big change, because we go from being lost to being a new creation. We go from our old nature to having the new nature. And that is a blessing in so many different ways. Darkness is the absence of life, or light, I should say. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Only light. You'll never get rid of darkness with more darkness. And the writer said, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. But if you bite and devour one another, beware that you're not consumed one of another. You don't fight fire with fire. You go into the dark. You don't become dark to reach the dark. You turn the light on. Amen? And that's what guides people. Somebody said, how far that little candle throws his beams, and so shines a good deed in a weary world. I looked up some things in studying for this about light, and listen to these facts. You talk about the glory of God and God the Creator and the miracle of creation. Light travels incredibly fast. It travels at approximately 186,000 miles per second. That's a pretty long way in a second. That's how fast light travels. And it says, in 1 year, this is a light year, in 1 year, that light can travel a distance of 5.88 trillion miles. I can't even wrap my head around that. So if we turn a flashlight on and the Martians are up there maybe watching TV or something, you know, I mean, our light is there, right? They can see it. That's how quick it goes. It takes sunlight about 8 minutes and 20 seconds to reach the Earth. That distance is 93 million miles. 8 minutes, 20 seconds. The nearest star to our solar system, Alpha Centauri, is about 4.37 light years away. Boy. The distance to the center of our galaxy, the Milky Way, is about 26,000 light years. And remember, a light year is 188,000 miles per second. Only a year of that. That's a pretty long distance. I think I'm saying that right. The distance to the Andromeda Galaxy, our nearest large galactic neighbor, is about 2.5 million light years. It's a miracle, isn't it? The illustration of light. Light, the light is turned on when we accept Christ. When we open the Bible, it's a book of light. And because it's a book of light, it's a book of life, eternal life, that goes on forever and forever and forever and forever. That's a greater distance than we're reading here. It's eternity. Such a blessing. C.S. Lewis said, "Don't shine so others can see you. Shine that through you others can see him." Amen? And that's what we want. Don't live in the limelight. Live in God's light. It doesn't matter about you or me. A couple of weeks ago, I preached, or at least had this illustration in my message in Revelation chapter 3. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me." That's the promise of God. That's what he says. Amen. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. All of those different principles that God really wants to minister to us. So he's knocking, but we have to open the door. And we talked about what would he bring to our life if we opened our hearts to him, if we opened our minds to him, if we opened our life. What would he bring? Well, he'd bring mercy and grace, amen. He'd bring forgiveness. He would bring kindness and tenderness. What's it say? His gentleness hath made me great. You'd have all of that just by inviting him in. "And I will sup with him and he with me." We will have fellowship. If we have fellowship one with another, it's because we walk in the light. But he is the light. Do you know in heaven we won't have any need of the sun? Because Jesus, it says this, he will be the light, and he is light. And when he comes in, when we let him in, oh, now I see it. Amen. The arguing is over. The fear is over. You just know the truth of the Word of God because you've let him in. That happens at salvation. When I was working at GM, we made fun of this one guy who tried to witness to us until I got saved. Of course, I didn't work there anymore. But if I did, I would have embraced him. Amen. But we thought he was crazy. And of course, we didn't live right and we didn't want anything to do with Christianity. But there are different reasons for that. But when the light comes on and comes in, we know the truth. Amen. It's a blessing. Such a blessing. He's the light. Matthew 5:16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That's the purpose of us showing our light. But I read something Moody, D.L. Moody said. He said, "We are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we won't need to tell anybody it does. Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining." If you're a lighthouse, people are going to notice it. I think I've used this illustration once. Before I give it, there was a time when my wife and I, we did a lot of traveling and preaching in different states and countries. And we did that, and we did a lot of travel on planes. And it was so amazing. When you got to the airport, you could almost see a Christian. Well, I'll bet that person is a Christian. Maybe the countenance, maybe how they're dealing with other people. And it's just a wonderful thing. And then we had lots of layovers and everything, and you got together with someone. "I thought you were a Christian." And then you had fellowship. Amen. We were coming back driving from Canada, Quebec, and by the time we got to the bridge in Detroit, we were pretty well shot, pretty tired, and we're entering the U.S., and there was a guy there, and he said, "Are you a pastor?" He's talking to my wife. No, he was talking to me. He's talking to me. And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I could tell because there was the Spirit of God emanating from your face." That's what he told me. And I've never forgotten that. And I say, well, that's a good day. Amen. Somebody can see that. But it's a blessing. We are not firing cannons. We are just being children of God. Amen. Your spirit shows. It really does. Your spirit shows. And you know, in all of this with this new puppy, we're reading about how a dog can pick up your attitude. It can. It can. They can pick up, you're having a bad day. They can grieve with you. If you're angry, they don't like that and all of that. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there. Amen. Maybe today you just don't feel like shining. Maybe today is a dark day for you. You're a Christian, but maybe it's just a difficult day. Those days do happen. Isaiah 50 and verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, and walketh in darkness and hath no light? This is a faithful person that walketh in darkness and hath no light. It says, find the verse, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. I heard a message one time on do the next thing. Just do the next thing. Sometimes we have hard days, but God has spoken to us. And we know what's right to do. Amen. Sometimes we just stand still, but other times we go on with life and we just do the next thing. We take the next step. David in 1 Samuel chapter 30, remember, he and his men were out fighting and the enemy came to the city of Ziklag. That was where their wives and their children were, and captured and took as slaves all their wives and all their children. And David and his men get back, and everybody is sad about that. And it says in verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David was about to be stoned, but he says, I'm going to do the next thing. And he got talked his men into going after the enemy, and they recovered all, the Bible says, because he did the next thing. Amen. Sometimes you just need to take the next step. Job, you know the story of Job, chapter 13 and verse 15. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Chapter 23, verses 8 through 10. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where did he work? But I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I'm in the middle of this terrible trial, and if you read the book of Job, you've got 40 chapters that are really difficult to go through. If you can say, like Job, where is God that I might find him? Where is God? Where is God? Why am I going through all this? Why am I so lied about? Why am I so misunderstood? All of the things that he suffered. And he comes to the end of the book, the last chapter, and he says, I have heard of you, God, by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I repent in dust and ashes. And then God blessed him twice as much as the beginning. He just did the next thing. He took the next step. Amen. He never denied his God. He kept looking for God. You may have a dark day. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, wrote Lamentations, chapter 3 and verse 2. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into the light. Who can know the mind of the Lord? Who can? The ways of the Lord are so deep. Why do I have a bad day? Why is this happening to me? Why don't I know what to do? Why is it so dark? God's always there. And he's just waiting to turn the light on for your comprehension. In chapter 3 and verse 25 and 26, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And Jeremiah obviously took another step and another step and another step. Then captivity was gone. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And all of the different blessings that he experienced, let him trust in the name of the Lord. Isaiah said that. That's in chapter 50 and verse 10. Way back in the beginning. It's in chapter 6 and verse 11. Isaiah is a prophet about this tremendous judgment that is upon the nation of Israel. And he says this statement, and I've used it many, many times. How long, Lord? How long do I have to go through this? How long do I have to endure this? And it's okay to ask God questions. It's just not okay to question God. Amen? But it's okay to ask him. And he says, how long? And God answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. That was God's answer to Isaiah the prophet. Isn't that amazing? Would we serve the Lord if he said that? How long do I have to do this? Well, till the cities lie waste, because my judgment is upon the nation, not on you, but you are the prophet, and you're going through this with them. Paul and Silas, so many illustrations of this. In Acts chapter 16, remember they went to a certain city, and they were preaching the gospel, and they got thrown into prison, and they were beaten. And by their own admission, they thought they were going to die in the morning. They were put in stocks, beaten. And guess what they did at midnight? They sang praises to God, Paul and Silas at Philippi. They sang praises to God. What happened then? An earthquake. What happened then? All the jail cells opened. What else happened? None of the prisoners ran away, because they probably all got saved, from Paul and Silas. And what else happened? Well, the Philippian jailer came in, and he fell down, and he says, what must I do to be saved? And you could go on and on and on and on, because somebody sang another song. Somebody took another step. The devil, in his darkness, in his lies, in his opposition, wants everybody to stop. I walk in darkness, just take the next step. Boy, my life is really tough right now. Just do the next thing. But follow the Lord. Let the word of God come in and fill you with light and direction. Amen. I read a bunch of verses here. I do that so you don't take my word for it, so you take the Lord's word for it. He's telling us that he will bless us. Just take another step. And where was it? Acts 27. Paul is a prisoner. He's on his way to Rome to be judged. There's a great storm. He told everybody, don't sail. I don't have a good feeling about this. And they did anyway. Here comes a storm. And when we didn't see the moon or the stars in many days, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. That's the verse. And so everybody's throwing the cargo overboard, everything. Just do whatever we can. Paul goes down in the ship, kind of like the Lord did, remember, with the disciples. He goes down in the ship, and he comes back up, and he says, be of good cheer. You ever get around somebody like that? No, I don't want to hear that. I'm having a hard time. I'm in the middle of a storm. Be of good cheer. Will you shut up and leave me alone? And he says, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. He heard God speak. Light comes on. Amen. In the middle of, you can't see the sun, you can't see the stars, the winds are beating up everything, we're all going to die. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And it was. Just like Paul said, both times. What a blessing. Psalm 23, the psalmist writes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen. That's a pretty good one. So here I am, and I'm doing that. And then it goes on and it says, God's going to comfort me. God's going to anoint me. God's going to fill my cup, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You keep seeing the next step. Such a blessing. Our Savior gave us the example that we should follow in his steps. That's in the book of 1 Peter. Easter is right around the corner. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he took another step. He set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem to die. That's the reason he came into the world, to die for our sins. He was falsely accused. He took another step. He was beaten and scourged. He took another step. He was crucified. He took another step. By doing all of that, the thief on the cross got saved, and others. He was buried, but the tomb couldn't hold him, and he took another step. We sing, "Holy, holy, holy, though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power and love in purity." The lost can't see it. They can't see it. Only saved people can see it. Amen. And even as we see the light and we know the light of salvation and we've been saved, the devil still attacks. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers of the darkness. And they're always attacking. Amen. Always. You just got to keep the light on. When the light goes off, just trust the Lord, because that's what he said. You have to trust God in the darkness, what he told you in the light. Remember that. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That is a promise. Wherever you are, Isaiah, that's in Isaiah. And that's where that Isaiah said, "I don't have light. I'm in the darkness and I don't have light." Just be faithful. Amen. Just be faithful to God. Don't give up. "Walk in the light as he is in the light, and you'll have fellowship one with another. What fellowship hath the light with darkness?" It doesn't have anybody, but that's why when we come to church, the lights come on. Amen. And you can participate in the sermon. You can go like this once in a while rather than... There are two different ways to respond. Amen. You can say amen once in a while. The further you go down south, the more expressive they are. I preached in Texas and down in there, and people are grabbing a flag and running around the auditorium. And in Mexico, boy, in Mexico, they're really, I was going to say wild, but not wild, but they're intense. But I preached in Canada too, and you can tell I have funny jokes, amen? Are my jokes funny? And they're so prim and proper, they just sit there, you know. But it doesn't matter. It's still the light. It still comes in somebody's heart. Oh, how I love the light. "What fellowship hath light with darkness? There is none. But the light is God." And we need to walk in that light and be filled with that light. And if you are going through a dark time, please, just take the next step. Do the next thing. Remember what God has told you in the light, so that in the dark you can be faithful. Let's bow our heads, please. If you're here today and you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he's the light of the world. He's the Savior of all mankind. God sent his Son to die for all of us. "And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Such a simple prayer, Lord Jesus. You can say it to him in your own heart right now. Talk to him, not me. "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for my sins. Please forgive me. Be my Savior and give me a home in heaven that you promise. In Jesus' name, amen."